we have PHP, which is partial hospitalization program, and IOP, which is intensive outpatient program. And these are programs where patients come in between 4 and 5 times a week, and they receive therapy with our therapists. They meet with a nurse practitioner or physician. And so patients that are newly identified as having substance use disorder, they have the ability to have these prescriptions sent via telemedicine. So both our PHP and IOP programs are both available via telemedicine as opposed to coming into the facility. Here right now, we only have about 20 patients in the program, and we still have about 4 to 5 patients that do come in person because of the fact that they don't have the technology or they're not savvy enough to utilize a Zoom type of meeting. So that they do come in person, but the ability to reach more patients via telemedicine and to be able to initiate a medication like buprenorphine we use Zoom. So most of the time it is a Zoom on an iPad so that they can see each other. And we have computers with, you know, video cameras to be able to talk as well. And so the patients are then able to get treatment. We can monitor them on a daily basis. Again, they're coming into these programs 4 and 5 times a week. So you do have that follow-up. So it's nice to be able to do this without having to have them in a face-to-face kind of situation. Buprenorphine is this a special drug in the sense that buprenorphine requires what's called a DEA data waiver. So practitioners do have to have specific prescribing authority to write for their buprenorphine. But if they have that XDEA, which is what we call it, which means that they've received specific training for it and are able to prescribe the buprenorphine, then they can use the telehealth option to be able to initiate new patients. Most of our prescribers here at Sun are data waivered, and our current outpatient physician, Dr. Centers, is able to treat up to 100 patients with buprenorphine. So having this ability has been really great for the community. As you may know, Sussex County really does have a high rate of substance use disorders based on our socioeconomic levels and things like that. So it's really nice to have that ability. I don't know the particular numbers per se with regards to how many prescriptions are being prescribed and how many patients we're actually reaching. But I would say that probably over 50% of our outpatients are patients that have some sort of substance use disorder.
Can you speak to challenges? I mean, it's obviously a good thing that you're able to get these people their medication over the phone or via the Zoom conference. But are there challenges with not having that same in-person connection anymore with some of these patients?
I personally think that, you know, there's a lot of data that you can get from nonverbal communication. So you can't see feet fidgeting, or you can't see, hands twisting and things like that. And sometimes patients, when they're on camera, right, you're not your same candid self, and you may feel embarrassed, or you might, you know, be more concerned about other things like how you look and stuff like that. I know this sounds superficial, but it really does, I think, impact the nuances of things that you can see. When you're really doing therapy with a patient, you want to engage them and get them to open up and really try to get to the root of the cause of their issues. And sometimes maybe over the Zoom or even the telephone, you might not be able to get that nuanced information. But I feel that patients over time, after they've done it a couple of times, I think the comfort level increases and they're able to elucidate a lot more information and be able to really engage the patient. The younger the patient, the more likely they do really well because, you know, the younger patient population has Snapchat and Facebook and FaceTime, and they do that all the time. So it's the older patient population that maybe isn't as used to, you know, really talking via some type of telecommunication. So you do have those kind of nuances that you might not pick up on initially, but patients do improve with their comfort level of being able to use this technology to be able to get treatment.
And is that what you're finding in the overall, that most patients are able to adjust, or has there been any kind of increase in maybe relapse during this time?
Absolutely. Like, you can look at the Washington Post, Harvard Business Review, the amount of alcohol use at this time because of just increased stressors with losing jobs or being furloughed or being stuck at home. We're seeing a higher increase of alcoholism, recidivism, and seeing patients that are relapsing because of that. When we look at the opioid epidemic, we're seeing patients still utilizing opioids, using prescription drugs inappropriately. The drug trade itself, because of COVID-19, the drug traffic, but Philadelphia is probably where Sussex County gets most of their heroin and other types of opioids. So that trade has slowed down a lot due to, crossing state lines and things like that. So we're seeing a lot of patients not abusing their opioids, but coming in and withdrawal because they can't obtain the stuff from their normal dealer. The other thing we're seeing, and I don't know if you are aware of this, is that a lot of the Sun Behavioral, we don't operate a methadone clinic. But what methadone clinics are doing, because of COVID, are giving patients between 7, 14, and 28-day supplies of their methadone in single-bottle containers. And what we're seeing here at Sun is an increased admission rate to our inpatient side of things. Because these patients are getting up to a month's supply of methadone, they're taking 2, 3, 4, 5 doses in a day because they have it, right? So they have an addictive personality. They have access to it, and so they're using it. They're overdosing. They're going to the ER, and then they're coming to us from the ERs to get treatment, whether, it's to wean them off of the methadone and put them on something like buprenorphine. Just a quick pharmacology lesson, methadone doesn't have a ceiling, so the more methadone you take, the higher the buzz is, and that buzz will continue until you don't breathe anymore. With buprenorphine, you take buprenorphine, you could take a higher dose, but even at a high dose, the risk of not breathing or overdosing is very minimal. So that's why we like to use that for maintenance, because it has a better safety profile, whereas methadone, if you take too much, you will die because you'll stop breathing. So it's been very interesting to see that methadone being dispensed for multiple day supplies for patients. Prior to COVID-19, we would see methadone patients getting weekend packs so that they didn't have to go to the methadone clinics over the weekend. And they did okay, but they only had 2 doses. And now with the 30-day supplies or 28-day supplies that some of these patients are getting, we are seeing some, we call them medication misadventures.
Yeah, that is certainly disconcerting. And I was not aware of that.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to take it now to the inpatient side at Sun Behavioral. You mentioned some patients are still coming in to get their medication. I imagine a lot of your other inpatient services are still up and running. How have things changed on that end during the COVID-19 in respect
sure.
to
sure. So we have, just like a lot of other healthcare organizations, whether it's acute care or behavioral health, we are seeing a little bit of a dip in our census. And really, we're pretty certain that this is going to be the calm before the storm, because what we're seeing with especially like New York, New Jersey, even Sussex County right now, we're starting, Sussex County, Georgetown, we're like the epicenter of COVID in the state of Delaware. We're now surpassing Newcastle in Kent counties. And so what we're seeing now is that we have all these COVID patients. And the mental health piece of it, the morbidity of mental health complications from COVID, is really something that's going to be detrimental, whether it's the healthcare providers who are dealing with these patients that can't save them, that are having or are becoming secondary victims to the guilt and the grief of having patients that are so sick and so many people that are dying, that we know that there's going to be a surge in mental health needs across the state and across the country. And so, Sun, we're really trying to ramp up our education with our staff and to make sure that we'll be prepared for the surge that's going to happen. We're not sure when. We're starting to see our numbers slowly pick up as we speak. So our daily census prior to COVID was running about 70 patients. We're up to about 50 right now. And I think we're just going to see that increase.